Step onto the legendary clay courts of Roland Garros, where the world's best players battle it out at the French Open for a chance to win a Grand Slam title. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV live in HD. See the action unfold as legends fight for glory and new rivalries emerge. Daily live coverage begins Monday, May 20th, with match replays on demand so you never miss a moment. From the first serve to the final point, Roland Garros promises unforgettable moments and new chapters in tennis history. Stream now with Tennis Channel Plus to be there when it happens.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey everyone, it's Jake and Damien here, and this is Handpicked, where we go back into the archives of the High Performance Podcast and pick out some of our most interesting guests and look at the most interesting parts of that conversation. So this time, Jake, it's you doing the heavy lifting here. So who have you chosen for us?
I've gone back to our episode with Mark Manson, the author who wrote The Subtle Art of Not Giving a F-U-C-K. And I just wanted to pick out two or three things in that conversation with him that I still think about now.
Go on. So what's the first one?
So the first one is especially relevant to you and I as parents, right? And I think all parents fall into this trap of praising our children constantly, telling them they're special, telling them that they're unique, telling them that they can do anything they want in this world. Mark has a different viewpoint. Should we listen to what he said?
Go on.
Like growing up, I was told I was special and unique and extraordinary and blah, blah, blah. And I hadn't done a fucking thing. You know, so there is some research I have seen on this, and I believe what it says is that generally speaking, you want to compliment your kids for effort, not for necessarily like who they are. Like, so you don't want to tell them like, oh, you're so smart, you're so talented, you're so brilliant. Before they've done anything, you want them to do something and then say, you were so brilliant at that. You were so talented at that. So it's almost like you praise the action, not their identity.
So there's Mark really, Damien, saying, and I think it's absolutely brilliant advice, that you should praise someone's effort, not someone's sort of natural ability. And I can understand that. You know, it's so easy to want to tell your children and even your friends sometimes and those around you that you love that they can do anything and they can be anything that they want. And I think especially when you're talking to young minds, you know, I've got a 10 and 8-year-old. I think if you just tell them that they're great without reminding them that they're great for a reason or that they can do great things, I think you are actually setting them up for a fall. So often we speak on this podcast about resilience and the importance of resilience. You know, Bear Grylls was the guy that said, help your children to build their resilient muscle so that when they leave school, they can deal with knockbacks and setbacks. Well, telling them that they are just going to be brilliant almost is the same as removing their resilience, because they then assume, great, whatever I do, regardless of effort or hard work or commitment or consistency or determination, it'll all be fine because I'm naturally great. It's really unhealthy. And actually, they need to understand from a young age that the more you put in, the more you get out.
I think it's really important that we let people know that we're learning as much as the listener on this. So what have you done differently then on the back of Mark's comment with Seb and Flo?
Very, very simple. Point out why things have gone well for them when they have gone well. So Seb just started playing football in a football team this first season and really struggled for the first few games because he just had never played football before. So the sort of the stuff you take for granted, like the natural positioning, talking on the pitch, you know, being in a place to find the ball, he was really hiding. He was always making sure there was someone between him and the football so he didn't have to get the football. And it was only after he stopped doing those things that you, instead of saying, you're brilliant, I was saying, look at what you're now doing. That is brilliant. And then I actually started filming little clips. I thought, you know, I don't want to come across like some crazy pushy parent, but it was really helpful for him because he couldn't understand when I was saying, oh, if you were in this position, you definitely would have got the football. He was like confused, understandably. So I was giving him more information by showing him a clip and saying, you do that and see what happens. Then he would do that. And remarkably, he got the ball and good things happened. It's the same with Florence, and she plays a lot of hockey. She does a lot of dancing. I have to say, she is constantly in a leotard in the kitchen, stretching, trying to do the splits, doing her dance moves and stuff. So then it becomes about when a good thing happens at her dance group, pointing out the reason why that happened is because of all those extra hours that you've put into to doing the practice and the rehearsal, not going, see, I told you you were naturally talented, because that's the wrong message.
So what's the next message that you took from Mark's conversation with us?
The next message is about context and understanding that even when great things happen to you, you can feel like they're not great if you compare yourself to other people and other circumstances. I think I should let Mark Manson tell the story.
I'm a big metal fan, and Dave Mustaine was the first lead guitarist of Metallica, and he actually got kicked out of Metallica. Right before Metallica recorded their first album. Now, obviously that's a terrible thing, but Dave Mustaine was super interesting in that he got very pissed off and he said, I'm going to use this as fuel. He did all the things that, you know, we all talk about that you should do when you have a setback or a failure or whatever. He said, I'm going to work my ass off. I'm going to make a better band. I'm going to sell more records. I'm going to sell more albums, do a bigger tours, et cetera, et cetera. And so he created Megadeth. And I think to this day, he's sold 100 million records. He's toured, done stadium tours around the world. He's grossed hundreds of millions of dollars. He's one of the biggest rock musicians in history. The problem is the band that he was kicked out of is a group of even bigger rock musicians in history. And so there's this fascinating documentary, I think it happened in the early 2000s, where in an interview, he had tears in his eyes. And he said, I still feel like a failure because I'm still the guy who got kicked out of Metallica. Like, I'm not, doesn't matter how many records I sell, doesn't matter how many stadiums I play to, I'm not Metallica. Like, they've done more. They've sold more records. They've done bigger tours. And so I still feel like a failure. And it, to me, it's just such a fascinating demonstration that, like, the way we define success for ourselves is so precarious. And you have to be really, really careful, because Dave Mustaine's a great example of, he defined success for himself in a way that was very helpful early in his career. He was like, oh, those guys kicked me out of their band. Fuck those guys. I'm going to be bigger and better and more successful than them. And that helped him get started, and it helped him, you know, sell a bunch of records and everything. But jump ahead 20 years, and that definition of success became a prison for him, and it prevented him from appreciating anything that he had accomplished, from enjoying any of the successes that he had had. To me, it's just a really fascinating cautionary tale of be careful how you're measuring yourself.
Dave Mustaine, what a brilliant story that is.
I know, and I think that when you have it to the level of Metallica and Megadeth, right, two incredible bands that had incredible success, then it leaves you with no questions. He's talking about an elite musician. And I guarantee you that there are footballers and business leaders and entertainers and Formula One drivers and golfers all around the world living in a state of unhappiness because they're seeing other people achieve more than them. Let's just get it absolutely right once and for all. There will always be someone who is achieving more than you are achieving. That is fine. It's about you finding your own version of high performance, and comparing your own success to other people's is never good. I mean, what I often say now, and the way that that changed my thinking, is I will sometimes see someone do something really cool and think, bloody hell, I wish I'd done that. But then I remind myself that there's someone else somewhere in the world that I haven't even seen doing something way cooler than the person that I've just seen do something cool, right? So if we knew what everyone was doing, we would all constantly feel in a state of underwhelm, and it's really unhealthy for us.
Brilliant. So have you got one more example of it? Because I remember when we had this conversation with Mark that you were loving it, you were buzzing afterwards in our reflections.
Yes. I'm just trying to work out which one I should go with. I mean, there was a great conversation we had about him being at his most down and depressed after the biggest success of his life, which was his book. He spoke to us about the psychological power of being at the bottom of the mountain, not the top, and the fact that he's learned to enjoy the climb rather than the view at the top, which again is really good for people. But I would probably go back to when we had a conversation about him writing Will Smith's book with Will Smith. He said he needed to take time out. It was then a really big test for him that this incredible offer came along. And actually, he spoke about freedom when he discussed Will Smith's book. I'll let him explain in more detail, but you're about to hear Mark Manson explain why actually it felt great to write someone else's book rather than his own.
I think that book was actually one of the only things that kept me sane through that period, because it wasn't about me. It was almost a relief to work on that book because I didn't have to come up with the ideas. I didn't have to go through the insecurity and self-doubt of like, oh, people going to judge me for this, whatever. It's like, oh, it's him. Nobody's going to, you know, if people think he's an idiot for doing this, you know, it's not my problem. So, his book was a little bit of a respite in that way. But yeah, it does take a lot of courage. And I think it does require that, you know, there's something kind of paradoxical, and this happens not just with work, it happens in human relationships, it happens in a lot of areas of life, whereas like as soon as you're willing to lose something, people want to give it to you. Like people respect you more, they're more accommodating. And so it's this weird thing where like as soon as you're like, you know what, I'm willing to let this go, I'm willing to lose this, not only do you kind of liberate yourself, but the people who are leaning on you to perform are often like, oh shit, I don't want to lose this guy.
Oh, I remember that clip really clearly. So what was it that resonated with you on that one, Jake?
I think it was the bit you mentioned at the end there about the fact that he didn't have to do it. And if you're willing to not do something, inadvertently you get more. And I'm a really bad person at this. Like, I hate letting people down. I'm a bit like you, a real people pleaser. I say yes to absolutely everything. And then when I'm in the middle of doing that thing, I'm thinking, why the bloody hell did I say yes to this? It's the last thing that I need. And I think I do it out of a fear of the fact that I'm self-employed. There's probably a little underlying thing about what if the phone doesn't ring tomorrow or therefore ring ever again. So I better say yes to everything. And actually, sometimes saying no, having standards, having boundaries, having a red line for something actually doesn't make you less attractive to someone. It makes you more attractive to someone. It means that they come to you with a different offer or a better offer, or they come back for more. So sometimes the best thing you can say to someone is, I'm too busy, or I've got too much on my plate, or that doesn't work for me at the moment. But you know what? Keep on asking. And eventually we might find the thing that I'm able to say yes to.
So is that part of the reason then why this summer you put a boundary in place of you were taking some definitive time off and allowing yourself to recharge?
Yeah, 100%. Like, if I allowed my brain to make the decisions, I would work 24/7. So I have to sort of not let my brain do that. And I have to let my heart lead, which is what really matters. And what actually really matters is Florence and Sebastian. I read somewhere that really changed the game for me, which is by the time your child hits 12 years old, you spent 75% of the time you will ever spend with them.
Ooh.
Because, you know, you have 5 or 6 years till they leave home. And even then they're out an awful lot more than they are when they're a little baby. And then they're gone. And how often do you see, you know, your parents? Once a month, once every couple of months, maybe once every couple of weeks, if you're lucky. But it's nothing like the intensity of when they're little. So the fact that Florence is going to be 12 in a year, I've had 75% of the time I'm going to spend with her. Kind of heartbreaking, but also really good because it reminds you to make the right decision.
I've loved this, Jake, because I think this series of Handpicked, where we go back through it, just reminds us of some of the key lessons that we've been lucky enough to hear firsthand. But equally, I think it's also powerful for people listening to realise that we're on a journey as well. We've not got the answers, but we've taken the lessons and trying to implement them in our own lives.
For sure. And if you've heard this little conversation and you want to hear the full episode, just search for Mark Manson on the High Performance Podcast. And remember, there are well over 200 other episodes to choose from, and all of them will bring some kind of value to you. Thanks, mate.
Thanks, mate. Loved it.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.